Jonathan's going to be here in a couple weeks, not next Sunday, but the Sunday after. We're doing like we did last time, 5 weeks, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. How many people were here last year when we had Jonathan? Amazing time. Amazing, powerful. It was really a God-ordained week. So many people were blessed. And so we're having him back. This time we're taking it up to the next level. We're going to have him in the evenings at 7, but also in the afternoons at noon for lunch, for those who can make that. And we'll be streaming everything. And the first thing that you'll be thinking, possibly, I know I was, I know I've been asked like that about this question, and that was, that's a lot of meetings. Why are we doing so many meetings? See how it gets quiet? It's a lot of church, is it not? But let me just tell you a couple things. Because if you don't know the benefit, you don't pay the price. And so the price is, it's going to be tiring. Physically, you're going to get tired if you come to these meetings. I'm going to get tired. I already know. But I know why we're doing what we're doing. Because we need seasons in our lives where we oversaturate our heart, our mind, and take a week away and say, God, I'm dedicating this week. I'll do what I have to do. Everything else I'm putting to the side, and I'm making time for God. And it's just not so that you get a goosebump. It's just not so that we have a crowd, because it's usually packed out every night anyway. But I want you to understand the spiritual purpose to this. Okay, there is a spiritual purpose. And Jesus did it. There were seasons that he got away just between him and the Father and had those saturation moments. And if Jesus needs to do it, I think we need to do it. But I have seen that when you take that time and say, okay, God, I'm going to press in. I'm going to have a special period of time. It doesn't mean you live in this pace, because you probably can't. You need a grace to do that. But I'm going to take this week, and I'm going to just draw near. I'm coming in, and maybe you add some fasting to that, maybe some extra prayer, whatever, and just dedicate that week to push into God. The Bible says draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to you, which means that as God gets closer, he becomes more real. Some of you have been maybe in a phase of, God, are you really there? I've gone to church my whole life, and I just don't know anymore. It's all a routine and discipline. Are you really there? You need to press into the next level and experience Jesus. Because it's a relationship, not a religion. Maybe you're in a rhythm of, God, I got so many things to deal with. I don't know which way to turn. You might need direction. I'm telling you, he is such a gracious Heavenly Father. It's amazing when you say, I'm going to put all the decisions to the side for a week, and I'm going to just sit and soak in the Word and the presence of God. How all of a sudden, something said, not said, all of a sudden, you have an understanding of what you need to do. I think for all of us, have identified this year, starting in January, is a breakout year. And we've already seen people with breakout experiences. And maybe you've been hitting a wall, saying, God, why? I keep doing the right thing, but I keep hitting the wall. What's the problem? I'm telling you, there is a spiritual side to your life. It gets quiet. We think spiritual stuff is just on Sundays. And you go out on Monday, and it's just, no. There is a spiritual, it doesn't mean you're a minister or you're whatever. It's just a reality of life. There's a thief that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's that next level, the next season that God has for each of us. Where do I get that? Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. God doesn't want you to stay. Even where you're at might be great, but it's not the end. And for some seasons, some chapters, it just doesn't fall in your lap. Some just kind of come to you easier. But as you grow into things of God, some things you have to get a hold of. Sometimes you have to break through and not wait for somebody else to do it for you, but get hungry enough, say, God, I'm going to push in because I'm looking for a deposit from you to change my marriage, to change my health, to change my perspective, to change my attitude, to change my finances, to change whatever it is. And I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, you'll see God working behind the scenes, changing what you do see in the natural. And some of you on your sales, you're like, oh, I can't slow down for a week. I got to make sales. You'll make a better quota that month. Taking a week and said, and I'm telling you, God will honor you and reward you. And it's the wildest thing, but it does work. And so when you spend that time, and that's one of the things that helped me even in my own walk with God in fasting. When I fast, you know, if you never heard your physical carnal self, the voice of your carnal person, you're like, oh, no. That's, you mean my human? No, the voice of your flesh, not your physical, but the desires. Go on a fast. And usually for me, it was like the first 5 minutes. I mean, it wasn't even time to eat, but I'm already, I can hear myself saying, why are you doing this? I'm hungry. We don't need to do this. And someone inevitably bring me a Krispy Kreme donut box, dozen, hot. Just thinking about you. And what has happened to everything on the inside saying, eat them, eat them. Well, now you know what that voice sounds like. But I'm telling you, there, when you, and for me, even in my fasting, when I'm going through that, I just keep reminding myself, it's because I can't do this on my own. And I know what God's placed on my heart. I know what God's directing for me to do, for this church to do, and I can't do it on my own ability. I need you. I need you, Lord. And I'm showing you, I want you more than I want that food. And sometimes it's a tough thing. You're get hungry, get tired, whatever. You'll rethink things. And hey, but I'm telling you, when you make God a priority and you come hungry, just don't come to sit through a meeting. Come expecting an impartation from God. Not from a minister, not from a person, but from the presence of God and the Word of God. You push in, I'm telling you, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference. And many of you are going to see your life just totally go to the next level. I promise you that. It won't be for everybody because according to your faith, be it unto you. But some of you, you've been hitting a wall, and can't figure out why you can't get over that wall or jump over that mountain. You've been trying to get over it, and you just know that God's called you, but you just feel like, and the devil starts working on you. Maybe you were never called to do that. Maybe that's not for you. Maybe you were just dreaming too big. Maybe you just need to settle in. You'll never win. You'll be a failure or whatever. Or if God wanted you to have it, he would. Don't you think he would have already made a way? I'm telling you. The devil has created a passive mentality in the church world, and we get our teeth kicked in by the devil out in the world, and we think that's norm for the Christian life. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph. One translation says, so that you become an aroma of his goodness wherever you go. Jesus said, you're a light. Light the candle, put it on the stand so it benefits somebody else besides yourself. Don't hide it and keep it for yourself. Be a blessing to those. You're blessed to be a blessing. The rhythm is that God wants you to have everything that's in the covenant. You will get when you get to heaven, or you can push through and get it on this side of eternity. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus would never pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if the will of God was automatic and happened for every person that walks on the earth. It's the will of the Father defined by the word of God that no one perishes, but that all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But yet we know people who die never knowing Jesus. It wasn't the will of the Father for them to die and go to hell. It was the will and design and price paid by Jesus for them to go to heaven. What was the problem? Their choice. What was the problem? Their choice. They did not choose correctly. And I'm telling you, in your walk with God, you can make it to heaven, but miss out on the opportunities of what he wants you to have on this side of eternity, just not for you, but so that you can be a light to other people. Because when you begin to do well, you can't give what you don't have. I mean, that's money, that's wisdom, that's favor, that's connection, that's opportunity, whatever. But when you begin to see your life bigger than yourself and that you are pressing in so that you can be what God wants you to be, so that you can have what God wants you to have, so that you can reach those that God wants you to reach. And it doesn't come because it's just because God wants it to happen. It comes because you rise up and say, wait a minute. God has something better. I can make a difference. God didn't call me to stay here. It was the prodigal son who woke up. He came to himself, the King James Bible says. He came to himself. What was it, his reality? That I don't deserve to be at this level. My father has more. My father's servants have plenty. Why do I stay? Why do I stay? Why do I? And you got to get something on the inside of you that almost makes you angry, righteous indignation, if you will, that you begin to say, why do I tolerate this in my life? Why do I stay with that addiction? Why do I stay with that torment in my life? Why do I stay with that handicap, spiritual, emotional, natural, whatever it means? Why do I tolerate less than what my father has for me? I'm going to rise up and pursue him. Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come. But as we begin to pursue him, I'm telling you, you'll see breakthroughs in the areas of your life. And as you begin to break through the opposition, as you begin to break through the wall of impossibility, as you begin to believe what you don't see, but because you've perceived from the truth of the Word of God, that if God said it, and you become like Abraham, who is at Romans 4, says, who against hope believed in hope, that the God who made the promise, he did not consider his own body now dead, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he believed that the God who made the promise, and when you get a word from your heavenly Father, from the Word of God, revealed by the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit makes it alive, and you're like, now I know who I am in that area. Now I know what I'm supposed to do. Now I know my destiny, and it don't look like it here, but I begin to see it here. And when I begin to see it here and believe and push through, Hebrews 6, you inherit all that belongs to you through faith and patience. Keep pushing. Don't settle for survival. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for what they've labeled you. Don't settle based on your past. Settle only for what God has told you from his word. And you keep going for that. You keep pressing for that. Paul says, one thing I've learned to do, I forget the past and I press. I press. He didn't say, I wait for. He said, I press. He didn't say, I'm waiting for it to be dropped in my... If God wants me to have it, I guess he'll bring it to me. No, he said, I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. He put some work to it. He put some effort to it. We got too many Christians that go around and say, I'll pray a simple prayer and I'll just live my life and God will drop it on me if he wants me to. No, you got to get a hold of this thing, for the kingdom of God suffereth violence and the violent take it by force. Well, you know, I'm just a baby Christian. I just got saved. I don't know much. I don't think I'm that important. Let me tell you how important you are. When you look at John the Baptist and Jesus talking about John the Baptist, Jesus said, of all men born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. Go through all the Old Testament, all the prophets. Ooh, I like Elijah. Elisha's always been my personal favorite. Samuel, he's good. You go through all these different prophets. And he said, John the Baptist, he's the best. That's a pretty good thing. But Jesus then said, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. So if you're the least in this new covenant, you're even greater than the greatest in the old covenant. I'm telling you, you are a powerhouse waiting to happen. Some of us just don't realize it yet. Some of us just don't realize it. But as you push through and break through, because the enemy, one of his tactics is to put opposition. And that opposition might come and people talking about you. I can't believe they don't like me and they're talking about me. Oh, get over it. They were talking about you before. Now you just know it. Right? We get too thin-skinned with people and too thick-skinned with God. We got to be thick-skinned with people. You love me? Great. You don't love me? I still love you. God bless you. Bye. Go down the road. I mean, we love you, but hey, I gotta stay, keep my course. Say, keep my course. And so sometimes it's people talking. Sometimes it's opportunities didn't go your way. Sometimes it's unexpected things, and you got this opposition. The devil's trying to keep you back. But when you break through, there's a tendency for him then to come behind you and try to push you too far ahead. We see that played out in Jesus' life. When he was in the wilderness being tempted, what was the first thing the devil's pushed? If you're the Son of God, make that stone into bread. I know you're hungry. He's putting pressure him down. Nothing was working. Come on, throw yourself off of the cliff, because doesn't the word say that he'll protect you? Come on. When that wasn't working, what did he do? He took him to a high mountain. This wasn't a push. This... to keep you back. This is a push to move you beyond where you're supposed to be at the moment. And he said, look at all the kingdoms and the authorities and the riches of the world. It's all been given to me. I'll give that to you if you worship me. And Jesus said, you should worship only one. That's God. And the devil left him alone. Why? Because he couldn't pressure him out of destiny and he couldn't lure him out of destiny, entice him. Today, I want to talk about this area because I really believe with all my heart, many of you, if you haven't yet, you're going to enter another season of breakthrough in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, there is anointing for you to be catapulted. I didn't say that in earlier service. To be catapulted, that means to almost like a leapfrog. You're jumping quick. You look back, man, all those years to get here, and look how fast this took. There's the anointing to do that. But there is an understanding that we must have. So I'm going to talk to you as if you have already received your next breakthrough. Can I do that? Because I believe you have. Mark 11, 23, 24 tells me, as I pray, as you pray, believe that you've already received it. So if you already received them, we need some understanding so that you can keep going. Say, keep going. David prayed this, Lord, let my feet be like hinds feet, which I like to look at it this way. Let my feet, because that hind would be walking on rocks that would normally hurt or trip or slow down the average person. But you're not the average person. I believe there's an anointing coming out of your life that your feet are going to be like hinds feet, where you actually progress faster in areas that made other people stumble and trip and slow down. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? You're getting ready to move into a phase where what would normally cause other people, even you in your past, to slow down, stumble, or have trouble, for you, it's just going to be opportunity for advancement. You'll just move. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? He's going to navigate. The Holy Spirit is going to navigate you through the rapids in the name of Jesus. Have you ever seen people get in those boats and go through the rapids? And I look, I've never done it. I've only watched it. And watching it is good enough for me because I look at that and say, those people are crazy. But if you know how to navigate through the rapids, I just speak that anointing on your life right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we just speak the anointing. Holy Spirit, help them navigate through the rapids of their life for victory in every area. I thank you things are going to pick up in pace and speed for positive, for victory, for success. Guide them. I thank you, Father God. Hinds feet in Jesus' name. And everybody said, but if we don't understand the challenges that the enemy, the tactics, and Paul says we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. Again, anything I say, please challenge it with the word of God. And so we see other people going ahead. And if you watch people enough, especially, I mean, today in reality TV, and it's really not real, but anyway, but you watch reality TV and you wonder, who would ever really want a reality TV program? I know some of you looked around your life and said, hey, my life would be a good reality TV program. But the reality is, the people on reality TV, it doesn't do them any good. It just destroys their life. It's the craziest thing. But my dad used to always say, son, you can learn from your mistakes or learn from the mistakes of other people. It's better to learn from the mistakes of other people, but if you don't, at least learn from your mistakes. And one of the things I've noticed in the lives of people, even people that are of great success, is that there's a tendency for some of them to just implode. Just, I mean, what was a blessing becomes a curse. I've seen it in the church world. I've seen it in the secular world. You'll see athletes. You'll see movie stars. You'll see celebrities. And it's like everything was going right, and then they go get around the wrong people. And Proverbs says the wrong company corrupts good morals. And they start making bad, poor choices, and they're... And it's amazing, there is a balance to every truth. There is a balance to every truth. And we look at money, because I don't care who you are. People can say all they want of, oh, money's evil. No, the love of money, the Bible says, is evil. But I've never heard anybody who preaches on poverty being a spiritual benefit ever turning down a raise. I'm just saying. Right? Money, power, fame. These are all literally tools that can be great, but can be enticing and can have lured a lot of people away. We see this being played out in Matthew 13's gospel. I encourage you in your own time to study this out. And it's a parable that literally when Jesus said it, the disciples, it intrigued something within them that they came back and began to say, explain this to us. It's so something missing in our understanding. The whole parable was about the sower sowing the seed of the word of God and in the hearts of people. And if you look at it, literally there's a progression because the goal is for you to receive the seed of truth of God's word and for that seed to produce that kind of change. So if you get a healing verse, what is healing verse supposed to produce? Come on, that was easy. Come on, that was, I mean, you guys have missed an opportunity to be the front of the class there. If you get a financial blessing, seed of the word promise, what is that supposed to produce? Some of you are getting this. Some of you want to wear the dunce cap, and I'm not going to let you do it. I'm not letting you do it. If you get the seed of peace or joy, what is it supposed to produce? Peace and joy in your life, right? When you understand the seed, the benefit is connected to the seed. So if you need peace and joy, don't be reading scriptures about healing. Plant the garden. You don't plant tomato seeds hoping to get apples. Gardening 101. spiritual gardening 101 is what Jesus was talking about. And there's progression because the goal is take the seed and have it produce the result, the fruit. And John 15 says that's what gives glory to your Father, not suffering, not struggles, the fruit. John 15, yeah. Verse 17, 16. This is what gives glory to your Father, that you produce much fruit. And that fruit remains. I love that because that basically means that what God speaks and brings into your life, he doesn't want you to have it for a short season. How many times have we been there? Ooh, I remember that meeting. I got so blessed, but, you know, I went back to normal. I was so happy. Now I'm back to normal. Now maybe that new harvest, that new fruit, that new change should be your new normal. Can I get an amen? He wants it to remain. And so there's a progression. And in this progression of the fulfillment of it, we see one of the fields, and don't have the opportunity to go through all of them, but one of the fields was this area of the seed landing, the person hearing the word, receiving it with joy, producing fruit, and becomes unfruitful. And the reason they become unfruitful is because they were lured away. That's that getting behind you and enticing you to go down roads that you were never intended to go. See, on one side, you can't find a job. On the other side, you have 7 job opportunities. On one side, you can't find a date. On the other side, you got 4 people calling you for a date. Come on, some of you just felt the Holy Ghost with that, I can tell you. I believe, I receive, I tell. Do you see the difference? On one side, if anything happens, you're like, that must be God. You prayed a prayer and something came up. Lord, I need a new car. And the next day at work, someone says, man, I'm trying to sell my old car, 400,000 miles. You know anybody interested? And you think, it must be for me because I just prayed. Yeah, like the devil can't show up with a bad car right before God brings you a new car. If you don't think there's a game going on, the devil says, they're bleeding for a new one. Watch what happens when I give them this junker and it's about to break down in 2 weeks. They don't even know it. It must thank you, Jesus. Well, according to your faith. So anyway, one side is the pressure for anything. The other side is the pressure to choose because you have so many paths. And the question is, how do we handle this so that we can reach our destiny? Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. Because if we're not careful, we'll let the devil sell us a bill of goods that, oh, where you're at is good enough. But where I'm at is good enough for me to do what God called me to do in this season. But what about next season and the people that God's called me to reach in that season? So how do I navigate that? How do I go where I don't? Yeah, Boris Becker, who just recently has gone into bankruptcy. Anybody know, remember Becker from back in the days? Tennis, German? Oh, Jesus, I'm showing my age. Well, forget him. But in the top of his game, winning Wimbledon. Do you remember Wimbledon? Do you know what size? Anybody know tennis? Expand your horizons, people. You don't have to play it to see it. After winning the second one, he was in an interview. They asked him a question, and he said his biggest challenge is the desire to commit suicide. Fighting the desire. You would think at the top of the game, how many athletes, how many movie stars, how many celebrities, how many top business? Because folks, the truth is, if you ever go to a homeless shelter, the people in the homeless shelter, not all of them are, we had think, oh, they don't have ability to have a job, they're probably uneducated, they probably can't do anything. Some of them were top of their game at one time, highly educated. What happened? They got to the top of their game, and they found out when they got that there was nothing. And they were still empty on the inside. They had no peace, and they had no joy. And they thought, what is life about? And they just collapsed. There's this tendency. Solomon dealt with this. Because God wants you blessed to the point that you're a blessing, but you never want to get to where you get sidetracked and lose it all. Power, position, success, business, whatever it might be. So you don't find yourself one day with everything the world says is great, but on the inside you're empty. Solomon, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, he writes this. Let's read verse 10 and 11 if we can on the screen. You can turn right in your Bibles or look at it. In Ecclesiastes, they're going to pull it up in a few seconds. In the whole chapter, because of time, we won't read the first 9 verses. He's talking about how in the history of the all kings. There was nobody that has outdone him. I mean, talking about somebody who wanted to be the best of the best of the best of the best. And he begins to explore, and he was so wise, and he says, whatever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion and reward for all my toil. Verse 11. Then I looked at all that my hands had done, and the labor that I had spent in doing it. And behold, all was vanity and a striving after the wind and a feeding on it. And there was no profit under the sun. Man, I don't know about you, but when I read that, that's almost depressing. That's almost depressing. And in the whole context, if you read that, the first 10, he talks about, man, I built buildings and homes. I had more money. I had all the wives and the concubines. I had everything that you could think of that anybody, any man would want. I had all of it more, and I was greater than anybody before me. Like Michael Jordan was in basketball. Come on, somebody. Do you remember who Michael Jordan is? Where are you guys at? Does anybody watch basketball? I'm telling you, Kobe has nothing. Just stick with Michael. Okay. And so, oh, lighten up. And so, then I looked at all that my hands had done and labored and spent doing it. And behold, all this stuff, and it came to the conclusion that there's no profit under the sun. Now, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't get off to the extreme. Stay with me because there's some more information here that's so powerful for all of us. That phrase, under the sun. Say, under the sun. I'll give you a cool word. It's called Hebraism, which basically means a Hebrew expression. A Hebrew expression for under the sun means without God. Check it out. What was he saying? All of the achievements, everything I built, everything I enjoyed, everything I did, when it came down to it, none of it had a profit. None of it had value. None of it gave me peace without God. Outside of God. And that's what Moses was dealing with. When he was standing before God, and God said, I'm going to let you go into the promised land, but without me. And Moses stopped and said, yeah, I mean, 40 years you're trying to get to this promise. God, I want you to understand, what makes us as a nation different than anybody else in the world? Is it not your presence? If you don't go, we don't go. Let me challenge you. How do I keep on path? How do you keep on path? How do we keep climbing the ladder? How do we keep moving to the next seasons of success and victory that God wants for you, that God has for you, without letting it? How do we have stuff without stuff having us? How do we parlay our fame to influence positively and not begin to believe our own press releases? How do we use our power and connections to benefit people and not become where we're narcissistic and believe people are there for us? It's very luring, enticing, with the idea and purpose to keep you from producing all that God has for you in your life. And the key is keeping the presence of God a priority in your life. Anything that would desensitize you, anything that would distract you, anything that, I mean, it might be good in itself, but if it takes your focus, doesn't mean you have to be thinking Jesus all the time, but if it takes your focus on who you are and who God is and your connection and his, your relationship with Jesus, if it takes the presence of God out of your life, for you, that's a sin. God doesn't mind you having a nice car, a nice address, a nice house, but if all of a sudden you become the worshiper of those things instead of him, I've seen it happen even in the church, good people with great successful, and they go from nothing and begin to tithe, and God blesses them, and they get a business, and God blesses them, and one day they are really, really blessed, and they go out and buy a boat, and God's not against having boats. And all of a sudden, you don't see him for months on end. Where you been? Haven't seen you in the house of God. Oh, you know, it's the summertime, and we got to go down to the lake to be at the boat to make sure it's... What happened? Some of you are laughing because you're familiar with that. Let me tell you what's happening. They were lured away by the enemy to keep them from reaching their financial destiny that God had for them, their ministry that God had for them, the blessing that God called them to be. Why? Because they begin to choose one over the other. You keep, again, God, money's not the problem. It's the love of money. And that's why Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters, for you'll serve one and despise the other one. You'll love one and hate the other. And then he goes on, you cannot serve or love God and money. Money's a tool. When you begin to look at the things of God as you advance in success, let me challenge you, realize it's a tool, a part of your assignment. One of the coolest things in my personal opinion is when Mike Tyson and Holyfield fought. Do you remember that fight? Does anybody? Am I at that phase of life that no one remembers the... Come on, right? I mean, Tyson, who was, and I followed his career from when he was real young. I mean, an amazing fighter. I mean, he could knock out a truck. You know what I mean? He's one of those ones. Do y'all remember that? And Holyfield is fighting him. And Holyfield's a Christian. And Mike Tyson's dropping every bad word in the book and saying, when I get you in the ring, and it's just going to be horrible, and I'm going to kill you in front of him. I mean, it was bad. I was nervous for Holyfield. And in that fight, yeah, the ear was the second fight. Come on, you got to stick with me. And in that fight, at the end, when Holyfield won, and all of a sudden, the whole world was watching as the impossible happened. The microphone is in his face. The lights were on. He didn't say, oh, I'm just so glad I won. I'm the champion of the world. He said, I want to give praise to Jesus Christ. Forget about that. How'd you fight? How did you know? How did you train? He goes, the Holy Spirit told me to duck, and I ducked. He told me to punch, and I punched. What did he do? He utilized his success as a platform to help reach other people. And he preached to more people the gospel in that one moment and had the world paid for it. Do you know how much TV time would it cost for around the world like that? To get on there and tell people Jesus loves you or Jesus is important or real? I mean, we let the world pay for it. What, all of a sudden, his career came into alignment with destiny. And he realized that he can be successful in his career because it's intertwined with destiny and the source comes from heaven. Regardless of your career or your destiny, keep the presence of God, key element, that if that money or the possessions or the friends, anything that distracts you and pulls you away from God, take a deep breath and say, wait a minute, I have to pull myself in check. Maybe that's not for me, or maybe that's not for me right now. Because some things are still good in themselves, but if you're not, and how do we know that? By keeping Jesus, I'm going to keep you number one. I'm not going to do this without you. And Lord, if you bring me to that place, I'm going to keep you number one. Don't use Jesus as a ladder so you can live your life the way you want to live. Live for him, and he'll bless you. You can have nice cars. You can have possessions. You can have influence. You can have fame. All those. Why? Because you're displaying the aroma of his goodness wherever you go. Amen? Amen? You're not going to settle survival. You're going to strive to be all that God's called you to be. Come on, give him a hand clap of praise. We're done.